Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of him whose kingdom will last forever and ever. We pray that your son would be at the center of attention today. Lord, you know that this has been a hard week for our nation. And I pray that you would allow healing to happen. I pray that we, your church, would represent you well. Lord, I pray that if there's anything I say today that is not of you, that it would fall on deaf ears. I pray for all of us that our hearts and our minds would be ready to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, happy 240th birthday, America. I love this country. I am a naturalized U.S. citizen. I had to take a citizenship test to become an American citizen. I love this country, and we have much to be thankful for, and let's never lose sight of that. Having said that, though, we also recognize that there are cracks in the foundation, and this week has made that painfully clear. The United States, in some ways, is becoming the disunited states. We're tribalizing around race, sexuality, politics, and the various tribes are bickering and sometimes outright fighting with one another. Race relations in our country really aren't improving. Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, Brent Thompson, Patrick Zamarripa, Michael Kroll, Lauren Aarons, and Michael Smith. Seven human beings made in the image of God whose lives were snuffed out this week. And regardless of where you stand on the politics of it all, we need to recognize that seven worlds have come crashing down. There are families who are devastated, friends who are hurting. It's a rough time in our nation. CNN cried out, "Who can heal us? Who can heal America? Where is the hope?" As well as these challenges, our country and our culture has undergone an incredibly rapid moral revolution. What was once considered good is now considered intolerant. What was once accepted as the norm is now considered extreme. We're promoting behaviors and lifestyles that 30 years ago shocked us. And this moral revolution, is in its final stages. It's moving on. As a country, we seem to have lost our optimism. Americans have been known around the world for being the can-do people. But it just doesn't feel that way anymore. Our economy feels stagnant. Some have said that this is the age of anxiety that we live in. Many will look back and reminisce and say something like, "Dude, what happened to my country? What has gone wrong?" The foundation is crumbling. The floor has dropped out. So what now? What can God possibly say to us in times like this? And what can we as a church do about it? We're just a little group of people in a vast nation of over 300 million people. What can we do? How should we respond? Let's never let our faith be a nice little devotional thing that is irrelevant or detached from the events of the world all around us. So before we look into the scripture, I think there's a couple things we need to understand about our country and about politics. First of all, the United States of America is not and never has been a Christian nation in the sense of a school is a Christian school, a church is a Christian church. The United States was birthed to be a place of religious freedom where many who were suffering persecution in Europe came over to establish colonies where they could worship freely. But having said that, any honest look at the history of the United States makes it very clear that the United States was rooted in a strong Christian, Judeo-Christian ethic. And this foundation is what's crumbling. This is what we as a nation are throwing away as fast as we can. Many will look at the United States and say, well, it's a broadly Christian country. But a careful look at population statistics show that maybe only 7 to 9% of our nation would classify as Christians who say, yep, Jesus Christ alone is my salvation and the Bible is the word of God. We're no longer broadly Christian, even in our outlook as a country. It's crumbling. Christendom in our nation is dead. Let that sink in. We need to be salt and light in the midst of this darkness. So what do we do? Is it all gloom and doom? No. Scripture gives us what we need. You can open your Bibles to Psalm 11. You see, many of us, when we think of where our country is going, we may not like the direction of some things that we see, it's very easy to say, you know, I just wish things were the way they were. But the trouble with rose-colored glasses is they filter out the junk. And we need to see current reality as it really is. So how do we live in the midst of this disunity, this moral chaos, and this age of anxiety? Psalm 11 says this. King David is speaking here. We don't know exactly the circumstances that he was under, but King David knew a lot about all these things we're facing. Some of you may say, you know, I've got issues with my boss. My boss is pretty mean to me. Well, David's boss threw a spear at him 3 times and tried to kill him. Well, you know, but my kids are just giving me a hard time at home. Well, David's kids tried to kill him and overthrow the nation. David was well acquainted with the things that we face. And he says this in Psalm 11. In the Lord, I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain, for behold, the wicked bend the bow. They fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. This was how David handled the rough times. Verse 1, in the Lord I take refuge. A refuge is a place that in the middle of a storm you can shelter. Now the storm is still going on all around you, but you are afforded protection. The Lord is my refuge. So if the Lord is my refuge, how can I say, I need to panic? If the Lord is my refuge, I'll be okay. So what does the Lord is my refuge look like in everyday life? Can't think of a better expression than an old World War II poster. Keep calm and carry on. Keep calm and carry on. Well, how? Psalm 11 unpacks it as we work our way through. Verse 4 starts like this. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. So no matter what is going on around me right here on earth, God is not surprised. God is not asleep. God isn't going, oh no! I don't know what I can do. He is in control. He is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. We live in an age of anxiety. That's what many sociologists are saying our times are like. The Lord is my refuge. I want you to listen just while I read from another psalm. You know, the psalms are a great place to get grounded. Almost feel like an antidote to when you read the news, and we should do that. We as Christians need to know what is going on in the world around us. Let's never retreat into a holy huddle. But after you read the news, one of the best things you can do is read a psalm. Get a perspective. This is the big picture. So often we'll focus on that, where we are and what's going on in my part of the world. But God is saying, I'm above all that. Just listen and reflect. I'm going to read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. That word Selah, there's really no exact translation into English. It's a musical term, and it's basically a thing, stop, think about it. And we as Northern Virginians don't do that real well. We just gotta be moving, gotta be doing stuff, gotta be doing. But God says, think about it. Read those few verses and stop. Then he picks up. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, kingdoms totter, yet he utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Stop and think about that. Come, behold, the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Stop. Think about that. What if in the midst of all that is going on, we, God's people, said, wait a minute, let's get our perspective right. The Lord is my refuge. Because the Lord is my refuge and I get that he is in charge. The Lord is my refuge and I get that he sees the big picture, even the stuff that I can't see. The Lord is my refuge. I can be calm and I can offer hope to an anxious world. When the world around us wants to panic and say, who can heal us? We of all people can stand and be accounted for and say, I know someone who can. His name is Jesus. You see, the hope we offer to the world is directly proportional to our level of trust in God. See, if we as God's people don't trust God or don't realize that he's as big as he says he is and in control as he says he is, then we don't have much hope for a hopeless world. But God wants his people to be able to say, we trust our God. World, we have a hope. Let's be